You are now listening to the Online Course Podcast, the place where online course creators come to learn how to sell more of their online courses. Here's your host, Jono Petrohilos.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast, the place where course creators go to sell more of their online courses. I'm super excited because we have an absolute podcasting rock star on the other end this week. A little bit about this person. He specializes in helping people launch a podcast that helps them reach more people and fill their pipeline. He's launched himself more than 50 podcasts, which have had a total combined of over 5.5 million downloads. That's more people than is in my whole city, so it's a pretty cool stat. Let me introduce, without further ado, the one and only CEO and founder at Podcast Domination, Mr. Luis Diaz. Luis, how are you?
Good, Jono. Thanks for the gracious introduction, man. You're quite a prolific podcaster yourself, so it's always fun to be chatting with someone who's been around the game and crushing it as well. So thanks for having me here.
No, me too, because it's always a lottery when you get people on the podcast, you know? Some of them sort of never been on one before and it's awkward, but I'm like, okay, this guy's, you know, had a few million downloads. I know he knows a thing or two, so it should be a smooth one for me. Luis, I like to start all my podcasts off with a quote or mantra that inspires you or fires you up. Have you got one for us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because you and I both come from the health and fitness space. So I was a trainer. I know you were a trainer in the past. One of the things when I was getting into online business was I was really big into Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm. And I remember sitting up late at night in my night auditing job. I was like doing accounting for a big company here. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm watching this Arnold Schwarzenegger video. And he says into the camera, he's like, whatever it takes, I will do. Mm. And that stuck with me so long because it was like, I don't care how long it's going to take to learn how to sell this fitness course or how to get clients online or how to start this podcast. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And that just stuck with me. And it's, you know, whenever I have my back against the wall, it's like, there's a way to do it. And I just have to figure out the way and do it. It's not like it's impossible. So that was a big one for me.
Yes. Love it. I'm a huge fan. I don't have an exact quote, but the way I sort of look at it, like, the harder something is for me, the better is the way I look at it. Because the way I look at it, if something is easy, any idiot will do it. And then it's not that valuable, right? But if it's something that's challenging, I know at least half the world is going to be like, that's too hard for me. I'm not going to do it. So all of a sudden, I'm not competing against every idiot. I'm just competing against maybe half the idiots, you know?
Yeah.
And the harder it is, the better. Because I know that, you know, if I keep pushing through, eventually I'm going to get there. So
Right.
Thank you for that quote there. Now, Luis, your specialty is podcasting. Now, this is going to be an interesting one, right? Because some people are going to be listening to this via podcast. Some people are just going to be watching via Facebook. So I think before we even get into like the how to build a podcast side of things, maybe we just speak about the benefits. Let's say someone's a course creator, and let's even say it hasn't really come into their mind. Maybe they've heard of podcasts, they listen to the odd one or whatever. What are the benefits? Why should an online course creator at least think about having a podcast at this stage?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, because at the end of the day, there's so many marketing channels we could use that it's overwhelming. Facebook groups, LinkedIn, Instagram, podcasts. You're like, why would I do podcasting compared to, you know, anything else? Because we all know, like, we know people who have no podcasts make millions of dollars online and they have no interest in starting one. That's totally cool. There's guys like, you know, Lewis Howes, who sells tons of his courses, same thing with Art of Charm. They sell millions of dollars with podcasts. So the question is, should you have one, right? And what are the benefits to having one? So for me, I look at it like, well, if you look at all of these other social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, what happens with them, right? Typically, the organic reach is like this, and then there's too many users on the platform, and then it tanks. And then you got to pay to get back up, right? This is the traditional social media model that they use. Get a bunch of users on, great traction. Then we take it away. You guys got to pay for it. With podcasting, I know my message will reach people today, tomorrow, next year. I will make sales from one podcast 2 years down the road. And that for me is something I love because it builds longevity into my business. I love Facebook Lives and Facebook posts. However, they're only as good as the next as one or 2 days, unless I go and tag get my manager, my assistants to tag them in a post, which is a great strategy as well. It's not going to get the traction that I want it to, you know? So same thing with Instagram Lives and LinkedIn Lives and whatnot, like they get lost. So for me, I like that because I can basically build almost like an audio email list with my podcast, meaning those people are subscribed and they are always going to be with me unless they unsubscribe. They may not listen to every episode, but if I have the right title, like I've even done this, Jono, like I haven't listened to Tim Ferriss in, you know, 2 months, but I'll listen to one episode and I'll buy something, you know, so because I'm subscribed and I listen and I read the titles. So for me, that's the biggest thing. It's like you have a way to hedge your bets against all of these social media algorithms. Still do all the social media stuff and paid ads and whatnot. But what I see a lot of smart businesses going into podcasting for is because they want a way to reach people that in a way that is safe, a long-term play, that they can build a relationship with a customer that is not ready to buy now, but they're ready to buy in 6 months. Or if they want to start like a speaking career, like if some of the course creators in here, if they wanted to someday speak on stage, they have any dreams or goals of that. I've gotten a lot of people coming to me for podcasting for that now because they want to start to put themselves out there and practice their skills on the mic, you know, in a way that's going to help them build their brand and make sales as well. So for me, those are some of the benefits. Let me know if there's any questions coming up or anything about that, because we can totally jam on this all day.
Yeah, let's go. Let's touch on that. And I think we can go deeper as well. So
sure.
Yeah, I love how you've mentioned the whole evergreen side of things, right? And this is probably a prime example. This is going in my Facebook group. It's also going on iTunes, right? I know as of tomorrow, unless I pin it up the top, no one's going to see this, right? But let's say it's on iTunes there. People can search it down the track. And it's sort of like, and another thing on that as well that I like about podcasts is I think I subscribe to maybe 5 of them. You know, if you go on my iTunes library, I've got maybe 5, maybe a bit different for you because you're in the space, right? But your average person probably has 5 or 6 podcasts they listen to. Now, my friend list on Facebook is a lot bigger than 5, you know? My follower list on Instagram is a lot bigger than 5. So you even if the comparison is just not there, right? Like, let's say your average person, and even let's do it. If you're listening to this on Facebook, let's comment 2 numbers down below. Comment firstly, how much friends you have on Facebook, and then secondly, how many podcasts you listen to. And let's do the comparison there. That's one thing I like, I guess. Not only is it evergreen, but it also gets you away from some of the noise because it almost goes back to the quote in the start, but in an interesting sort of way. Once again, any idiot can start up a Facebook profile, right? Any idiot can start up an Instagram account. There seems to be a potential higher barrier to entry in podcasting. Now, the reason I say potential, I still think it's a super low barrier. It's like you can do it for free, I'm pretty sure. I think you could, it's 100% free, right? Yeah.
Like maybe with Anchor.
Yeah, exactly. Even I think I use SoundCloud and iTunes, I think it's free, you know?
Yep.
With the basic one, you know, there's obviously limited features in that. But so it's not even a huge barrier of entry, like you need to fork out thousands of dollars or you need to, you know, spend hours of content putting something together. Like, could put one to a guy like you, Lewis, could probably teach someone how to put it together in a day, right?
Yeah. That's funny enough. We tested that and we did a 2-day workshop last month and it worked. We put together podcasts in a day. I'm actually launching another one in my spare time for fun, you know, just because I'm like, I want to show people how easy it is. So totally, you're totally right. There's some barriers, yes, but like there's so much content and resources out there for you to do it. There's no excuse. But it is a bit of a longer game, right? Like it's not like you can not manipulate it, but it's not like you can grow it as fast. So a lot of people get turned off. And I've even heard guys like Lewis Howes talk about this, where he's like, I was the guy who stuck with it when everyone else quit. And that's why he's as big as he is now. So not many people, to your point, could take the punches and go through all the years that it takes.
That's a good point. I'll piggyback off 2 of those things as well, where it's like, I guess there's no instant gratification there, So it can be where you look at it and you're like, oh, this is a big waste of time. You know, it's never going to get there, yada, yada, yada. But I think there's two things to that. I think like there's very few things in life where you can just get instant success straight away. Yeah, some are faster than others. Right. But usually, like the more continual and long-term game it is, the more consistent. And even just to piggyback off that as well, my opinion is when I podcast, it's not just to get more followers or to get more sales, right? It's like I podcast because I love podcasting. I could talk about online courses all day. If someone else, or I can listen to other people talk about their, if someone else has a passion that can help someone sell online courses, I love talking to that person and I love sharing that message. Even if I didn't share, I could just, even if I had zero followers, zero Facebook group, zero iTunes followers, whatever, I would still gladly just have this conversation and put it out there because I'm so passionate about it. Right. So that's, I think, another point as well. Like the reason why, because I've got another podcast as well that I've been running for years. And the reason I was able to keep that is I just love talking about it, you know? So I think that's another important thing. It's not like, right, I'm going to start up a podcast and be a millionaire tomorrow. It's, hey, I'm super passionate about this thing. I could talk about it all day. So I'm going to put a podcast together because I love talking about it anyway. And hey, the side result is the millions of people on iTunes can now actually find this and then follow me and yada, yada, yada. And actually let's touch on those two points a little bit. There's two things I want to touch on, so I'll get your opinion both way on those. The first one is maybe like getting found on iTunes now, because let's say you're using Facebook, you're using Instagram. It can be quite hard to get found if you're not sort of very active, you know, going out and following other people and DMing and whatever. And obviously there's things you can do in podcasts to get out there quicker as well. Even if you just had good, consistent content, had a good title, you know, got some good reviews, shared it with your friends or whatever, people will be able to find that on iTunes, right? Using the iTunes algorithm, which already has millions of people on there, right?
Yeah. So the funny thing about Apple and iTunes, first of all, I'll make a clarification. So Apple Podcasts is like the official new name for like the app.
Yes.
Then iTunes per se is like for the desktop. Mm. And they're two different systems.
Okay.
And so the Apple one on your phone, especially for iPhone, it's much more robust. It's much more responsive. The iTunes on your computer is much slower. The search is worse. Things don't get updated there. So they're two different games, but you can get found. The biggest thing with getting found on Apple Podcasts goes back to your messaging and your marketing, which are, what is your title? Is it something that your actual customers are typing in? So meaning don't go and put like, don't make the Luis Diaz podcast because no one's typing in my freaking name. You know, mine would be like how to start, scale, and monetize your podcast show. That's, you know, something that's going to catch people's eyes. And it's something that people are looking for. So you want to do your research because if you want to get found on podcasts, they're outside of getting Apple on the top charts, which we can go over later, especially when you launch. It's more of like a friend referral game. So people, how like a lot of these other podcasts got big was they had great content. People said, hey, you should check this podcast out. And then that person liked it and he shared it with someone else. He shared it with someone else. And that word of mouth game really built them up. And it's why they're on the charts consistently. It's because they have tons of people sharing and referring their content. So it's part like we say, content, being very, very strategic about what you put out and making sure it hits like the pain points and the big promises that your audience wants. It's also your titles, your episode titles, and also your actual podcast title. And then another thing, Jono, that people sometimes forget is like, it's your artwork too. Like if you have crappy artwork, I wouldn't listen to it. Cause I'm like, I don't think so. Like there's companies that spend so much more time and money on their content that I know is good. Why would I waste time with a show that I'm not sure if it's going to be good, if it's like kind of weird and I don't feel like I'm going to like it. So those three things like are really big when it comes to making a first impression. And that's when you'll get people to give you a shot. So before you even before they even hear you, they're already judging you. And they will never give you a shot if they don't feel like they're sold by the title, the artwork, or the episode titles.
Yes, love that. And for the listeners, me and Lewis were chatting about this beforehand, actually. So I do a bit of podcasting, but I'm more a Facebook group guy. And it's funny because it's very similar with Facebook groups. So even if you're listening to this and you're like, I might not have a podcast, a lot of that also works with Facebook groups as well, especially the title. And a few formulas I've found, it's a little bit different with groups because they're a bit more community than individual, but still some of the same principles can apply, right? Where a couple of the theories, the equations I like to use is the who for what, you know? So it could be, all right, who do you serve? And what do you do? So it could be like, you know, business tips for personal trainers, you know, productivity tips for busy mums. You know, it's like you hear those two things there. It just, and no matter what you do, if you have those two things, you know, it's like the person you serve and what you help them with, it's like a no-brainer there. So yes, good point. And the other thing I wanted to touch on as well was on the, and we can even the sharing side of it goes on to that as well, where I was going to say, the interview podcast versus the individual. Now, me personally, I'm a huge interview guy for two reasons. I do the odd individual one, but number one, it's just time-based. You know, I feel if I have to do an individual one, I've got to think of content and, you know, all that. But if I'm interviewing, great. Let me just, you know, network with different people. And if they sound cool, great. Get them on the podcast and essentially leverage off their experience, their knowledge.
Exactly.
And even and a piggyback to that as well, I feel like not only is it like I leverage off them, not only is it it's time efficient and I leverage off them, but then it can also help with some of the sharing stuff as well. Because let's say, and I'm not pressuring you here, Lewis, but just say, for example, you know, you interview, whatever, 10 people, at least one or two of them are going to take out their phone and do an Instagram story and post it, you know? At least.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I hadn't had my phone. I was like, dang, we got to get that done before the end of this.
You know, one or two of them are going to, you know, share it on their social media as well, the actual episode. So it's on that side of things as well. But yeah, let me hear your take, Lewis, the interview versus the individual.
Yeah, this is funny because it's such a great topic because they're both right and they're both wrong. And it always depends on the audience. So I like to do like this. So you have these people who have more time than money. Those are the people who want typically longer episodes because they want to learn how to make money. They want to learn the story. They want to learn the tactics, the strategies. When you get up the spectrum, upriver, when there's more people have more money than time, and like I'm a busy seven-figure CEO, and I only care about the one to two things you're going to tell me that are going to help me move my business to the next $1 million mark or the next 10, get my next 5 million. So I look at it as a spectrum, and I've been doing a lot of coaching and a lot of teaching on this. More money, less time, shorter episodes typically. More time, less money, longer, more informational, more conversational episodes. So you look at your customer and you look at, like, if I'm targeting practice owners like doctors who have very little time, they run a staff, they run maybe two or three clinics or outpatient stations or whatever. They don't have time to listen to a 60-minute episode. So doing interviews may not be the best. Like me, one of my shows, I target high six and seven-figure entrepreneurs. And I do that in 15 minutes because I know that's probably all they have or that's all they're going to give me, right? So I look at it as a spectrum of, like, the interview shows are great if you're targeting the right audience who wants that. If you're targeting more busy people, you can still do an interview show, but you got to make sure you chop that thing down to like maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Yes. Wow. I've never thought about it like that. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's been 3 years in the making of people asking me that question that I've actually studied enough and seen it enough times. And I'm like, okay, now this is starting to make more sense because we're starting to see the patterns with our clients and with my own shows. So yeah, it's definitely something that, like, doesn't come firsthand. It's not like come up the top of your head. So yeah, that's a new one. I haven't talked about that on podcasts yet.
Oh, I love that tip. Okay. And then the other thing you mentioned was essentially the audio list. So we all know how important it is to, and it really can be sort of anything as well. You know, followers on Instagram, you know, subscribers on YouTube, you know, it's another thing like that there where it's like, great, you release a piece of content. Cool. You know, people can see it. And then it's another way to grow the list on that side of things there. So I love how you've mentioned that there. Now, Actually, I was going to say something else as well. Oh, yeah, sorry. And even back to the networking side, the other thing I like about it, and I know this, and just talking about that, just the interview side of things, right? Where it's like it can be a cool way just to meet other people, where it's like, all right, cool. You know, I want to potentially collaborate with, you know, this person over here. If I just send them a cold DM and say, hey, do you want to sell my stuff? It's going to be a hard grind, right? But if it's like, hey, you know, I've got a podcast, I've got a few hundred or a few thousand people that are already listening to it, they're already your ideal audience. Do you want me to interview you on my podcast and you can promote your services, promote yourself, yada, yada, yada? That person's almost an idiot to say no, you know, providing you have a decent audience. And then from there, it's like a first step there. So I just wanted to add that a little bit there. All right, cool. So let's say, Lewis, someone's watching this. They're like, all right, you know what? I like the sound of this podcast thing. I might look at getting one together. What would be the first step? So let's say more from the technical side of things. So let's say, hey, they've already got a course. They've already got an audience. They're making a few sales, you know, but they want to sort of scale that up. And they're like, all right, you know, I want to try this podcast thing. What's the first thing they should do?
Yeah. So the first thing I would do is go to Google. If you have a Google account, you can just go to the forms, make a Google form sheet. And what I want people to do is to survey their audience. And by doing this, you're going to get all of the answers that you need to build a top rated podcast. Mm. Your audience already has their pains, their wants, their needs, their fears. They have the questions. They have everything you need to build that podcast. So you always want to, it's kind of like chicken and egg. It's like, should I build a podcast first and then go talk to the audience? Should I talk to the audience first and then build the podcast? You want to go to Google Forms or SurveyMonkey. I don't care what you use. Go and survey your audience and ask them these key questions. Number one, what problems are keeping you up at night in your business? Number two, what other podcasts are you listening to right now? And then number three, what other Facebook groups or Instagram accounts am I following, or are you engaging in actively? There's a bunch more, but those are kind of like the big three that like, if you can get that, you can start to learn what your audience is. You can also throw another one in there. Like maybe you have some title ideas for the podcast. Like, hey, I'm thinking of naming it this, this, or this. Which one would speak to you the most? And I would suggest to like you're saying, they're making a few sales. I would ask first your ideal clients, like the people who have bought your program and gotten great results with it. Mm-hmm. And then all that data is going to give you the raw materials to make the podcast. So going into the more technical stuff, the mic right here that I'm using, I've used it for 3 years. And it's super simple to use. It's called an ATR 2100. The new one's called ATR 2100X, and it's about $109 USD. And it's an amazing mic. So get this. This thing I'm using right here is $13 on Amazon. $13. And I look like I know what I'm doing. You know, so it doesn't have to be expensive, right? Like, so this is a newer NEEW. I'll drop the links actually below, Jono, so people can, because I know we get these technical questions all the time. And this is a great, I bought it the other week. It's 13 change on Amazon. So this setup right here will make you have professional audio quality. The hosting site that we use, which is like kind of like the place to store all of your podcasts. And Jono, I know you mentioned SoundCloud. That's a free option. Another one that we use for all of our clients that we really like is Captivate, Captivate.fm. And the reason why we use that is because, number one, it's relatively inexpensive. Like, I can build a podcast network on there, and it'll only cost me $20 a month.
Mm.
Like, I could launch 5 podcasts tomorrow and it wouldn't cost me any extra. Mm. Like, if you want to amplify your voice, you can do that. Like, you could literally have 5 podcasts you talk about different things on and only paying $20 a month, which is great. Mm. So I like Captivate. And besides that, you can also do a lot of cool marketing things with it. Like, it gives you all these different links. You can embed everywhere, and it's a really, really great product. So, Captivate. So yeah, those three big things I would say for people who are like, hey, I want to get in this. What do I get? Get this mic, get this boom arm so you look professional and you don't have to hold the thing like I did for the first 2.5 years, 2.5, 3 years.
I've got books holding mine up, you know? You can't see it because I've cut it up, but I've got about...
Oh, yeah. a bunch of. Yeah.
So I'm yeah. gonna you throw that link,
dude. Yeah,
get buying that for $13.
Yeah, it's steel, man. I'm like, this is great. People are like, I researched the crap out of it, and I was like, man, like, is this gonna work? I was like, whatever, it's $13. I'll just, if it doesn't work, I'll return it. But it works perfectly. Get no complaints. So yeah, like those are the basics. Once you know your audience, biggest thing I stress is like, you don't need thousands of listeners. Like I monetize my podcast and I have 1,000 listeners a month. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have a huge audience, but it makes money because I speak to one listener, really, really well. And that's my whole game. So you don't need a big audience either to monetize, your show or your following.
Yes. Love that. Okay. Let's piggyback off that, cause there's a few good things there. Some good notes.
Yeah.
So yes, I love that survey. So anyone in the course creator world has probably experienced this as well, where it's like, if you launch a course without doing the market research, no one buys it and you've shot yourself in the foot, you know, it's way better to do some sort of market research. I love the two questions you've asked, you know, what's the problem that's keeping you up at night, and maybe some episode titles as well. Cause that's essentially what we should do as course creators. Before you create your course, go and interview your market and say, hey, if I could solve your biggest problem right now, what would it be? What would that one thing be that I can solve? Great, we get that. That's what we can promise in the course. And same thing with like the course title and the unit titles as well, you know? All right, right. Yeah. So which of these course titles would catch your attention more? Which of these modules would catch your attention more? So I love that you've mentioned that. I also like, you know, the other Facebook groups and the other Instagram accounts you follow. I think there's numerous advantages there. I'm a huge Russell Brunson fan. Have you read his latest book, Lewis, Traffic Secrets?
I'm reading it slowly. I'm a super slow reader.
You're a listener, right? You spend all your time on podcasts.
Yeah, notoriously slow reader. I hate when people say you got to read books. I'm like, no, I just buy them on Audible because it literally takes me like half a year to read one book. And it just frustrates me. So yeah, I've bought it on Kindle and slowly going through it. But
okay. Well, a method he uses is the Dream 100. Right?
Yes.
He says, you know, if you pay him whatever, $80,000 to business coach you, the first thing he says is, you know, get a list of the 100 people that your audience already follows for a few different reasons. Yeah. Number one, ideally you can collaborate with them, right? And you can do some sort of get them on your podcast, you know, shout him out on Instagram, whatever it may be. You'll grow your list quickly there. But even if it's not a collaboration, there's still other options, right? You can be, okay, this is the sort of content that they're posting. This is the sort of things they're posting that are getting interaction.
Yeah.
Cool, I can mimic that. So I love how you've mentioned that. Love you've mentioned the mic, because that's always a very common question with course creators as well. Because obviously podcast is very audio-based, right? But even with a course, you want our audio to sound good. So that's the question I was going to ask. The two ones I get are either the ATR or the Blue Yeti. Is one better than the other, or is one more cost affordable than the other? Because they're always the two.
I would say the Blue Yeti has a disadvantage of, I could be wrong, but I believe the Blue Yeti is only for the computer. So if you're out, say I can take this mic and I can plug it into my cell phone and I can use it to interview somebody at a conference. Or if I'm in my hotel room and I want to record a quick podcast, I can do that with this mic too and sound perfect. This has the ability to do that because it has an XLR. Let me show you really quick. So you see that little like three hole prong thing?
Yep.
That's an XLR. And that allows me to use it in a recorder and other things and whatnot. So that's a huge, huge benefit to this mic, which I like.
Awesome. Cool. And yes, the hosting. So I'm just a SoundCloud guy because it's what I used 5 years ago. So I did that,
right.
But it was captivate.fm.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's worth the $20 a month, especially if you have, if you have two podcasts, you're probably not paying anything on SoundCloud, but yeah, they do a really good job.
Awesome. Okay, cool. That all makes sense there. And then it's pretty easy from there. Great. You know, we've got it, we've got it on Captivate, or we've got it on SoundCloud. Great. We get it on Apple Podcasts. Cool. All good there. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, from there, let's say we've got a podcast, we've released a few episodes, and, you know, we're only getting a handful of listeners. if you could give us, I want to be sensitive of your time, but if you could give us, you know, maybe three or four different tips to us on how we can grow that quicker. Obviously, tip number one is to either purchase your course or to do your free challenge. So that's a no-brainer, the best things people can do. But apart from that, what are some other tips that people could do to speed up their podcast growth?
Great question. So I break this down as a pyramid. So if you look at the bottom level of a pyramid, you've got like the base of needs, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You've got your basic needs for food, shelter, and water. With podcasting, the baseline is your organic content. So are you posting stuff on social media consistently about your podcast? Are you showing up in the stories? Are you showing up in Facebook groups mentioning your podcast? Are you reaching out and doing collaborations with other podcasters where you can? That's kind of like the base level stuff. So like if you're not doing that stuff consistently, that's like it's basics. You've got to do it. For me, podcasting is like 30% recording or content, 70% promotion. You know, like you've got to be your biggest fan in a sense and promote your stuff, because no one's going to come out, and very few people I would say come out and find you and hit you up and say, I love you, I'm sharing you with all my friends. Mm. Like that's a rarity. It's great. It happens sometimes, but it's very rare. So from there, if you've got your organic content, meaning you're posting 2 to 3 times a week about your podcast, you're showing up in stories probably daily. From there, there's a couple things you could do. Number one, what we found really works well is doing a contest. So say you have a course, you're giving away your course for free for a limited time for this next week, if you subscribe and share the podcast or tag 3 people below, you're going to be in the running to win this free course. I'm only giving away to 3 people. Mm. Doing courses like stuff like that is going to, and not just once, but consistently, is going to help you slowly build that following up. You'll get maybe 10 new listeners 1 month, then 15, then another 10. And there's a great fitness podcast that did this. They did a giveaway with like a t-shirt for like a year, maybe even longer. And they just basically gave away, when people reviewed their show, they would give away a t-shirt. Mm. Well, they did that for a year and they just built a massive audience. And I'm not saying it's just because of that, but that was one of their strategies, using contests and giveaways and things like that. That's a huge one. The other part is that the faster way to go, if you wanted to, is to pay for promotion. So there is tons of places now. I'll actually show you a friend of mine. She sent me a message last night and she's like, hey, have you ever heard of this website? It's called earplugpr.com. And I'm not affiliated with them. I'll drop it in the chat, Jonas. You can check it out too. Might be worth a check it out. But basically they feature you in magazines, in newsletters, in newspapers all across the world for certain price levels. I think they start as low as 200 pounds, British pounds. And they go up to £1,000. So you could pay different places to promote your podcast. This is just one of them, earplugpr.com. I got to make sure I get an affiliate code for them, because I'm sure I'm sending them lots of traffic. but there's other places such as listennotes.com. They do a little bit of paid advertising. And then another one we're testing out now is Spotify ads. So Spotify ads, cool thing about that is like, if I know my my audience is in Sydney, Australia and Melbourne, I can target those two cities, and I can even target people who listen to only hip hop music and they're only in the gym genres, like the workout genres.
Yes.
So I know, so for example, I know fitness coaches listen to that stuff. I can put my podcast course, promotional ad in there. Say, hey, I know you're in either Melbourne or Australia, Melbourne or Sydney, and want you to know that there's an amazing podcast all about how to sell your course online right here. So you can get super targeted with that stuff. So those are three biggest ways.
Yes, love that. So I'll just quickly summarize that. The first one's organic, like whoever you are, you've got some followers anyway, right? Whether it's on your Facebook, or it's on your Instagram. Even if you don't, hey, there's other Facebook groups. You know, someone asks a question, hey, I actually covered this in my podcast here. You know, here's the link, yada, yada, yada. If it's appropriate, of course. So, good way to do it. Contests. Yes, I love that one. I think that's good on any social media platform. You know, that's how I see a lot of Instagram accounts grow really quick. hey, here's a giveaway, tag three friends or whatever it may be, can go really quick there. I see Amy Porterfield does that really well. Are you in her group at all, Lewis?
I think I am. Yeah. My funny enough, my sister is who works for me. She is a huge Amy Porterfield fan. So I keep up with Amy Porterfield through her mainly. Yeah. And I've seen her do that. Yeah. Yeah. We usually have like a landing page for people so we can go and target them.
Yeah. Well, I'm in her Facebook group. And every day there's someone leaving a review and screenshotting it on there, you know, to get in the competition. So it's just, you could join that group. You don't know about the podcast. Then you see, you know, a couple posts. Oh, I may as well listen to this podcast. And I love how you say, right, not just one. Because, all right, someone does one post. Okay, great. You forget about it, you know. But if it's, and you probably won't even see it, you know, if the group's got 30,000 people or whatever, you're not going to see it, you know. But if it's like every day there's two or three people, okay, I might check out this podcast. So I think that's good. And then the last one is the paid side of things, which is always a good way to go as well. So cool. What about from there, Lewis? So it's like, great, you know, we're starting to grow some traction in our podcast. What's, I guess, the strategy? Do we say, do we just try and sell in one every five podcasts? Or do we put a link to our course in the show notes? Or is it just a build your email side of things? Is it a bit of both? What can you tell us there? How do we get someone from being a listener to eventually giving us their credit card details?
Great question. So I want to backtrack, and I thought of one more strategy for specifically for course owners who have a Facebook group. So on your Facebook group entry, you know, you have your questions and whatnot. It should be, have you listened to my podcast? Mm-hmm. If not, or if you leave a review, I'll give the first module away for free to you. Mm. Just screenshot me the review, or go subscribe and, you know, send me a screenshot when it's subscribed. You can totally do that and just literally get people to go from your Facebook group to your podcast as a way just to get them in, right? So that's one big one too. And then going back to monetizing. So this is my favorite part, by the way, full transparency.
Making, I like money too, so you're good.
Exactly. So there's so many ways to do it. You know that I like to use what's called conversion content. So conversion content is basically, I will take a success story from my group. If I have someone who went through my challenge or my course and they had great results, I'm going to bring them on the podcast and talk about where they were, where they are now, what were the roadblocks we helped them uncover, or what was the mindset shift that helped them win, what kind of results they're creating in their business right now or in their life. And I'm going to have that episode because I've literally made money off of those episodes. I've had clients sign up with me for that one type of episode. So that's a case study episode, or more of like a hot seat. The second one is more of like a case study where you're just telling about, like, you're talking about Susie who went through your course, and you guys can go click the link in my screen, in my bio or in my show notes. You can see her whole testimonial, but I just want to say congrats, Susie. You know, you've been crushing it. And it's more of like a celebration case study. You're kind of mentioning it. You're not promoting. You're just saying, hey, I'm celebrating with my students. They just made $250,000 in their business when they went through the course. And so those are the main two types of conversion content. Like, you want to just talk about the results because people are going to get curious. They're going to say, well, man, I want to try that out. And then the last part here to that is every one of those episodes, what you want to do is remove the risk from them trying. So, hey, if you want to just try the same program that Susie went through or that Jim went through, I want to give it to you for free only on this episode. So if you're listening to this right now, make sure you go to the link in the show notes and click on, you know, or DM me on Facebook and say, I listened to the episode. Can I get the first module free? Mm-hmm. So that's how we can kind of get people into our world from podcasts. We want to talk about our results and we want to remove the risk and do basically what I call a green light offer. For them so that they have all the incentive in the world to go and take you up on that offer. So it's making a really juicy, zero risk type of like call to action, really. So you know, if you've got like 10 people in your group, five of them get results, I'd say go and book them on your podcast right now. And basically what you want to do with that is offer on those episodes the first module free or something, or a free, like a little piece of your program, like a checklist or something, you know, that way you can start to get them in your world and then eventually make the sale either now, then, or later. There's so many ways to do it. Awesome. So anyways, but that's just someone off the top of my head.
Well, on that note, Lewis, I know we mentioned something earlier for the Facebook group, but someone's listening to this podcast. Have you got something for them? Where can they go to get into your world?
I gotta eat my own cooking, right? So, so the best place to, I'd say to get into my world, get a lot of value is the challenge. If you're listening to this later, the challenge will be evergreen. So it's podcastdomination.co/challenge. And that page will, you'll be able to opt in. We've got a free workbook that's got tons of bonuses in there. And, you'll be able to go through the 5 days and then potentially join the group if you want to join us later in the program. But that's probably the best place to go, Jono. And then obviously our Facebook friends can just tag me here and we can drop the challenge link for them as well.
Awesome. Yes. And if you're watching on Facebook, just comment challenge down below and me or Lewis will get the info over to you. Now, Lewis, yeah. I want to be sensitive of your time. So it's just a couple closing questions I like to ask everybody.
Sure.
Now, this being an online course podcast, I like to ask everyone where they host their online courses or what their favorite platform is. Even if you don't have one yourself, it could be Zoom, it could be your Facebook group, could be whatever. What's your favorite? What do you use to deliver your content or courses?
Okay, I love this question. So I have a couple courses. I've got a book that delivers all of our free bonuses on that book as well in Kajabi. I love Kajabi. It's my favorite piece of software so far besides it's between that and ActiveCampaign. Mm. So Kajabi for the win. We have all our courses on there, our email lists, our whole website's on there. So that's definitely Kajabi.
Love it. Yes. I'm a huge ActiveCampaign fan myself. And I've been putting off going to Kajabi because when I started the game, Kajabi wasn't around. I had a million different softwares. But I think I'm going to have to make the transition and convert over to Kajabi. I just think if you've got a lot of courses, you do a lot of things, it's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. You can do webinars on there. We can. My team throws up emails or it's like sales pages super fast on there too. So we love it.
Awesome. Cool. All right. My next question, Lewis, is around mentors. Now, I usually ask this in a few different ways. I know you're not much of a reader, so we won't do the book side of things. But you know, maybe who do you recommend? This question is essentially who do you follow or who has mentored you, whether it's someone you've paid directly to be in their program or just someone that you follow on social media, you listen to their podcasts, you're in their Facebook group, whatever it may be. What can you tell us there?
Great. So I've got a handful of them. So I started off in the game with a guy named Vince Del Monte and Vince was in the fitness space. He coaches a lot of fitness trainers and whatnot. But that's when I was in the pivot in fitness. And he was the guy who told me to go to podcasting. He's like, look, you got a way better shot and a way better business model if you go to podcasting. And I always appreciative of that from him. So that was one guy who put me on the map. Right now though, I'm learning a ton from my coach, Andrew Cruzy, who is a really, really successful guy on Facebook. He understands business and also systems and strategy really well. So been learning a ton from him. And then last guy is one of my clients actually, which is Chiran Srivatsa, who is he sold a $1 billion company. He took a company from 300 million to 3 billion. Wow. He's one of the most humble guys I've ever met. And just honored to have to be working with him. But Chiran got the Business School podcast. And you guys should check that out because he's always dropping value bombs over there.
Yes, I'm going to send you a DM after and ask him name because I wouldn't have a clue how to spell that, but I definitely want to connect with him. So,
for sure.
Awesome. Well, hey, Lewis, that's pretty much all I wanted to get through today. Is there anything that I should have asked you but forgot or... is there anything you want to leave us off with today?
No, I think we covered a ton. And Jono, I just want to say thanks again. You asked some amazing questions and I love how you synthesize things down for people after I go on a rant. Like it's so important. So thank you for keeping me in check. No, we covered a ton today. So there's plenty of actionable steps in this one.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to end the podcast here. So thank you, Lewis.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends and don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Check out the show notes for more free resources on how to sell more of your online courses.